Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 352 of the Mighty Mites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, John back here. Say,
Now
how's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Apart from the impending dread of life in the Championship, relegation, losing all our best players. Although being in the same division is actually grey, so it might be okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. Like, yes, this is a completely warped, screwed up way to look at humanity, but the way that the world has been in the last couple of weeks has been awful, and I've stopped noticing it because now I'm too worried about Leeds being shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you might think that's sad, but and you might not even be wrong. But it seems to be working. Yeah, by the way, also, if you see my eyes darting around the screen a lot, the streaming software we use has changed where everything is since the other day. So it's all a bit weird. Yeah, this one is going to be a short one. Basically, my daughter's not very well. She should, in theory, stay asleep with what time it is now, but I might be needed to run away at short notice and stuff like that. So this one will be a quick one. Luckily, we can talk about what happened in the Sunderland game relatively quickly. It's why that might take a while, because fucking nothing. That's what happened.
It's very easy to say this in hindsight, and I understand. And knowing Farker like we do at this point, know why he picked the starting 11 he did.
Yep, because they did all right against Man City.
But my
well, in fact.
But my God, did that game lack any level of creativity?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't change a winning side, nor does he change a side that he thinks he's playing well. You know, we've said it before. Like, Farker, if we finish 17th this season, he's done a good job. That's fine. But these are the limitations that we've lost as rag with before. I'm annoyed at him for picking like such a defensive lineup, but I can even live with that. It's not becoming more aggressive earlier. Like, obviously, we were sat next but one to me at the game. How early was it that I wanted him to bring on one of Nonto or James on the wing and just go basically 4-2-3-1?
Did we get to the quarter hour mark? And we were like, well, this clearly isn't working.
Yeah. And I was like, not none. I have seen it happen, but not very often. I was going, you have five subs now. Fuck it. Just make a change after 20 minutes. You can do it. It's fine. It's fine to just go, oh, this setup isn't working. We'll change it. It was such a negative. There's so many things wrong with it. It was completely negative. But even each individual player, like Jaden Bogle, when he got the ball to feet, he turned into when Sam Byram's playing on the wrong side. You know, just turn around backwards every single time. And that's not like him.
Pascal Strout, Carl Darlow pass map will be impressive.
Yeah,
imagine this. There was, I think, at one point in the second half with Pascal Strout with a pass backwards when you actually heard the, oh, for God's sake, like, come on.
Yeah.
So at least go sideways, man.
Yeah, because like, there is some credit to be had for Regis Libre. He set him up as a defensive wall, didn't press us, and just went, no, you can horseshoe the ball around the back as much as you want. And we did. It was not last season, the season before the worst games under Farke. That's what this was. Where you're just doing the same thing over and over again. You know, it was, I think that I put on our Twitter because there was two options. We were trying to decide whether it was the Mowbray games or the John Eustace games. Where you have 80% of the ball, but you only actually have like one chance. And then you do something stupid and gift them a goal. We've had it with that. It was letting Smodics run in behind for Blackburn or something like that. In this, it was Ethan Ampadu deciding to play volleyball. Because like, it is a penalty.
I don't know what. So like, I've literally only just watched that before. I couldn't bring myself to watch it and then realize I probably have to do this podcast. and I don't know what he's thinking. Like, you know, when you're watching that, because from the long angle, you're looking going, oh, there's not a lot there. You know, the ball's in close proximity. They can appeal all they like it, but you know, it's the ball's bouncing around in there. It'd be very harsh to get. Did he just elbow that ball out of the way?
Yeah. I think it is just natural reaction. He just did it and went, oh. Like, because from where we were in the stand, I thought that there was no to it. But, you know, having seen it back, it absolutely was. I mean, I agree with Johnny Ding in the comments here. It was the worst Leeds game I've seen in years. It's up there. Like, because, like, the ones where we screwed up back end of last season, like Swansea and stuff with the 2-0, it wasn't as poor as that. Those games, we had chances and missed them. This, we... Did we have an actual, like, really good chance?
When your best chance is a cross. And that's that. I mean, that Dan James ball across the face of goal, I think, is probably the best chance.
Yeah, at the end, there was a header on target from the long throw. And because the header was from quite close range, if it goes anywhere other than straight at the keeper, it is a decent chance. I mean, the best chance was denied to us because, yes, we can talk about how bad our setup was, and it was, and that Sunderland defended really well, and they did, and that Regis Labrie shithoused the game, and we fell into every trap that he set. All of those things are true. We did also get completely fucked over by, not by VAR, because that's not a conscious thing, but by the operator of VAR. Because even the most dyed-in-the-wool Sunderland fan I've heard, and Sunderland fans have been weird on Twitter, but even they've been going, oh yeah, it was definitely a penalty. Ball goes in, Pascal Strauss got the run on 09, grabs him around his neck, pulls him to the floor. And there's some people going, he went down a little bit early, a little bit easy. Well, you would, because you'll get a penalty if you do that, because you've been very clearly fouled. Why would you stay up? That would be silly.
I think you got that up during the game.
Yeah, for some weird reason, I don't know if it was because there was a lot of day trippers there that night. You could tell, one, by the atmosphere, but two, by the number of people around us who got lost going to their seats. Alphabet and then numbers. Shouldn't be that difficult. But I had loads of signal, which I never have in Ellen Road, so I was able to get that up in the ground.
Yeah, and when you're just watching something in sheer disbelief that, sorry, someone, and look, you can.
Yep, that sounds about right. That's about how today's gone in terms of work and my daughter being ill. So we'll see later on whether this is me frozen and I can't see anything or KC's frozen. We'll find out shortly. I don't know which one of us froze, mate.
Yeah, it was certainly one of us.
Yeah, well.
But, yeah, I don't know how far into that rant I got there.
No.
But, yeah, if
cheers, Dingy. KC was one frozen. I did start talking as cover because, obviously, I'm definitely not going to have time to do any editing of the audio. And even if I did, I can't be asked. So, yeah.
If you wrap your arm around someone's neck, controversial as it may be, that's a penalty in my book.
Yeah, it was so blatant that I'm not going to say that someone is dishonest. But, like, I find it hard to believe that you can be incompetent enough to watch that and not give it. Like, I just don't see how that's possible. Occam's razor is cheating, and if he's not cheating, it's that they should not be allowed to do that job anymore.
You saw the stuff that the decisions that weren't being given last weekend in terms of the handballs, the holding at corners.
Sunderland were one of the ones that got screwed over. They had an absolutely blatant penalty turned down in the previous game.
Like, it's it will go on and on, and it's never going to go away. But that there is no one who can come away from this last week of Premier League football and go, well, VAR's really showed its value here.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, because that was always the excuse for things like it's never being given at corners and free kicks crossed into the box and stuff. The referee's looking at like five different things at the same time. It's easy to miss something. That excuse doesn't fly anymore when you've got VAR, and it still just gets missed. It's just bollocks. And this is why, just fucking bin it off. Because if a referee misses that, I'm not still ranting about it now. I'm like, fucking hell, he's missed that. I'm not nearly as furious as I am now when they've been able to slow it down, watch it 12 times and still get it wrong. Just get rid of it.
Oh, but don't worry, there'll be a letter or something. It's again that thing of just, you now live in a world where, well, this is a foul to this person, so we will allow it to be a foul. But this other person arbitrarily deems it not a foul. So the other people are going to say, well, in that case, it's not a foul.
Yeah.
And you have this thing now of where you've overcomplicated such simple rules.
Yeah.
I don't remember holding at corners being such a thing in 2005.
No, I mean, it happened, but not, it wasn't this structured. Basically, set pieces have got too good. And on top of that, the decisions just aren't being given.
And yet, you now have several camera angles of Declan Rice just bear-hugging people at corners. Now,
I mean, that was two penalties. A foul and handball.
What is the purpose if not this? And they go, well, you know, it's not strong enough for us to overturn it, so therefore we also deem that to be a correct decision. You're like, well, that's not a correct decision though, is it? Like, let's be honest. On top of that, I'd be very interested to see the number that, you know, the Sunderland lineup for this weekend with the number of head injuries they're having to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, they've got no one left. But I'm not, and I stand by this, I am in no way annoyed at Sunderland for completely shithousing again. I'm annoyed at the referees. I've been, as anyone who's been up at the top of the Championship or up at the top of any league knows, teams are going to come to you and do things like that. We got very used to this in the Championship. We're less used to it now because we're not like that in the Premier League. But this was a very Championshipy game.
Yeah.
We saw the whole gambit, the whole laying down. You know, I think their keeper had a run of six goal kicks where he managed to take just over 4 minutes. You know, things like that. But this was from the literal first minute. They got a free kick in the first minute. Luke O'Neill moved it about four times and he took over a minute to take it. But the referee didn't do anything about it, so I can't be mad. It's the ref's fault. You book someone for time wasting early. I've been saying this for years. You set a precedent and go, right, you've just taken a minute to take a free kick where you were set up and ready to go, and then you've just backed off and gone forward and waited and moved around. If you booked someone after 6-7 minutes for time wasting and said, right, that's all here. If you do it, I'm booking you. And you can easily stop it. It's not like it needs new laws. It doesn't need, oh, we need a special focus on this. No, just implement the laws. They're already there. And you can fix this. It's not difficult. Like we saw, again, the goalkeeper goes down injured so we can go over and have a team talk. All that stuff. But they just don't do anything about it. And unfortunately, not doing anything about it was the theme of the night. Because while it was going badly, Daniel Farke also decided not to do anything about it.
Yeah, I think there were several different ways you could have dealt with it. First and foremost, the premise the last month or so has been this: Aaronson will be close to Calvert-Lewin. The Stack as sort of a nominal right midfielder is a bit of a weird one, and I don't think it suited him at all.
No, he didn't have his best day at all. Even his just ball, his set pieces, which his ball striking is normally excellent, he took some stinkers.
But I, by the end, was sort of looking, going, I'd have basically put out the championship team, gone 4-2-3-1, and just Nonto on the left, James on the right, Aronson at 10. If you want to do Ampadu and Stack as your holding mids, or Ampadu and Gruev, you could put Tanaka in there. But just
he's the one that baffles me. He would have been really suited to that game. And I understand him not starting. I knew that that was the team roughly he was going to pick. We said so on the podcast before it.
Hmm.
It was for not changing to it. I know Tanaka had a couple of bad games, but Gruev was one so negative, and we didn't need two holding midfielders in that situation. But he also, on top of that, was having a shit game. And just left it for so long.
I thought it was quite glaring, to be honest, that either Tanaka or Longstaff didn't come on in that game at all. And I'd have rather had Tanaka, because I think he's the more attacking of the two.
Gruev was the first one off, but that being the hour mark?
Yeah, and I also thought Mechuron as the first sub sort of locked you into a system, because you couldn't bring Calvert-Lewin off. Because one, he's not starting this weekend in the Cup.
Yeah.
So if you'd have brought him off, especially in that game at any point, you're going to get pelters for it. At the bare minimum, to take off your top scorer. We've tried Mecha out wide, and it doesn't particularly work either. So we had the two up front, and we didn't really do a whole lot with that.
No.
And then you went with the wingers, two players who barely played any football, you know, for different reasons, but two players who barely played any football in months. And again, it's a here, go fix this.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah, so we finally get the wingers. I've just checked, that's 74 minutes. Jesus. That's the bit where we finally get a little bit of joy. Mostly from James being an option on the outside, and he got a couple of balls in, things like that. Nonto, he had a really sloppy first couple of minutes, but then he got going and he looked quite lively. If a team is sat deep, narrow, just defending their box, the space is wide. You either need an incredibly tricky player to play your way through, which our best option for that is probably Buonanotte, who he didn't even put on the bench. So we're starting to get a little bit of joy out wide. You can drive the ball in, get loads of crosses in. It can be a bit samey. It can turn into the 10-man Wigan game. But that's where the space is. We were at least doing something, because we were able to double up on the outside, because you had Bogle and James, and you had Goodmanson and Nonto. Well, that's the only bit of joy we're getting. So what does he do? He takes off Bogle and Goodmanson, brings on Peru and Biol, and basically plays like one centre-back with Strauch and Roden sort of stepping out. So we were getting a little bit of joy of a 2v1, getting doubling up on the outside, having two, basically a full-back's pushing up and being two out-and-out wingers on that side. That was the only little bit of joy we're getting. So we removed that. I've been saying it for 3 years. He's in game changes. Daniel Farke is like really bad at. I cannot believe that he thought that that was the right thing to do in this situation.
No, it was. It was rigid. Like, I could have understood it if, again, Pirou was coming. Because I think one of the other problems, especially with the 3-2 fuck it, is brilliant, but they're just putting everyone in the box, and now you have an entirely cluttered penalty area.
Yeah.
And you're just chucking more people into that very limited space. Yeah. And yeah, I get it that the hope is that, you know, you'll win a header or something in there and it's fine, but
yeah. I mean, we ended up in a situation at one point where It was Willy Nonto exchanging passes with Joel Peru about 25 yards from the Leeds goal.
Yeah. Don't forget Joe Roden's overlapping run on the right-hand side.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a great pass, but if it had been a winger, they'd have probably got there.
There was almost a moment, I think, was it Dan James who played it in for him? I don't think he even had a moment of going, oh, that's Joe.
Yeah.
Ah, never mind.
I think it was Peru's ball, actually. And I think he thought it was going to be Dan James, and it just wasn't. But the truth is, we deserved nothing out of the game. The problem is, the reason the result feels unfair is because Sunderland also probably deserved... Like, it was the most 0-0 I've ever... As much of a 0-0 game as you'll ever see, and we endeavoured to lose it 1-0. We have seen this before. A team comes for a 0-0 and wins 1-0. We've seen it 20 times in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
It's happened before, it'll happen again.
I think the disappointment in it was that simply from, you know, me pulling up a website can go, well, Sunderland are the fourth worst team away from home in the league. Why are we playing for a 0-0 draw here?
Yeah, it was...
Because that's very much how that felt.
Well, we were...
And we looked... And again, when you're looking going, Luke 09 is having to start a Premier League game. They've got, you know, a relative child in goal who's not played a whole lot of football. Like, if ever there is a time you're going to beat this team, that's your opportunity. Go take it.
And this isn't something that, oh, it's Leeds fans speaking out of turn, they're so overconfident. No, we happened to be talking to a Sunderland fan on the walk down. I saw what happened on Twitter before the game and when the lineup was announced. The Sunderland fans were the ones saying, oh, we're screwed here.
Yeah, Granit Xhaka's back on the bench because he's not fully fit. Like
the Sunderland fans were the ones saying, that's been the, when I said the Sunderland fans, they seem to be in this weird misapprehension that Leeds fans are really overly confident when we might be the most pessimistic fan base in any sport in the world. Yeah. Like, just full stop. My timeline today on Twitter has just been full of betting slips on Leeds United to get relegated. That's all it's been. That's them sorted. They've got 40 points. They're good to go, and they have. We think we've got a kind draw in the cup. They've got Port Vale. It could turn into a seriously good season for them, and they can actually focus on it. There has been a bit of talk all over Twitter and stuff of, well, if we stay up, do you keep Parker and stuff like that? And I don't think now's the time. But like right now, gun to your head, do you think, regardless of division, do you think Daniel Farke's our manager next season?
I think he's more of a chance if we go down.
You see, my gut right now says that he will be still. If we stay up, I think they'll just say that's a successful season and they'll keep him. And then they'll panic if we start and have three bad games at the start of next season. And everyone will go, well, if you were going to do that, you should have done it then.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what's going to happen if we stay up. But it's been, there's a lot of people that, like, there has been an overreaction from Leeds fans to this game because it was god awful. But it's not quite as got. I think that the reaction is based as much on West Ham winning on the Wednesday night.
Yeah, between that and Forest drawing, has obviously got us slightly concerned. Slightly more concerned than we already were.
Can Crescencio Somerville piss off? Because, I don't deserve this. I've been cheering that kid on since the first time I saw him in a Leeds under 21s, well, 23s game, as it will have been at the time, going, oh, this kid, he's really good. And what's he going to do to reward me? Relegate us.
Yeah, it's very frustrating that a good player is now starting to look about as good as he should do. But
in the Premier League, the season we went he had a little bit of this, didn't he, where he'd just suddenly go on a run. He got 4-4 and a 3-3 a couple of times. And that was when he was a much less established player than he is now. When he's on a hot streak,
yeah,
he just gets going. He's very hard to stop. He's like Serbel dancing in 1998.
I just can't stop.
Yeah. There was one good result from a Leeds perspective last night. I didn't see any of this game because I was out. But
Spurs, it looked hilarious.
But Spurs won Palace 3, and I did listen to like the Football Ramble on the way home from the office today. And it sounded like Spurs were pretty lucky to lose 3-1.
It all seemed to happen so quickly as well. Like I was at a football meeting last night, so again, I was just keeping up on live score, but to have gone 1-0 up, had a man sent off, conceded a penalty, and two stoppage time goals all in the first half. As it all seemed to fall apart very quickly for them.
Yeah. And fortunately, we know from experience that making a real ungodly mess of a home game against Crystal Palace never leads to relegation.
No.
No. Oh. No. Especially when you've gone 1-0 up.
Yeah,
we had the grace to lose 5-1 because we were really bad. But yeah, that it was a really, 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 really bad week. So this probably is a good time to have an FA Cup game.
A nice little palate cleanser, if you will.
Yeah.
Unless we lose and then we go into meltdown.
Yeah, and then it's a complete and utter disaster.
Yeah.
Because it's weird with Norwich because. You look at like where they are in the league and you'd think, oh, it's nothing, you know, 17th. But it's now a +3 goal difference. And I can't remember exactly how long, because is it Philippe Clement, the new boss?
Yeah, I think so.
But, I mean, you look at their last few games, 1-2-0 at Leicester, beat Sheffield Wednesday 2-0. They did get beat by Birmingham, but beat West Brom 3-1, beat Oxford 3-0, beat Blackburn 2-0.
It's all just teams underneath them, though.
Lost to Middlesbrough, who were right up there, but beat Coventry, who were right up there, 5-0 against Norwich, 2-1 win at Wrexham. They're like they're a much better side than that position in the league now.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at that team. I mean, it's just very odd seeing some of these. Obviously, Josh Sargent is still there.
That is not true.
Is he not? Why is he?
No, Josh Sargent left about 4 days ago to go somewhere in the MLS.
Oh, Google is lying to me.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly where, but it was somewhere in the MLS.
He's gone to Toronto. What a turncoat. He's gone to Canada. Never mind then. Kenny McLean's there. Who is, you know, the quintessential, either championship midfielder or stud muffin, depending on which way you want to go with that comment.
I wondered if you were going to go for a Joel Gertner reference.
It's one of those things. Like I look at those, like obviously there's a couple of players I still know, but they do seem to have had a lot of changes in the last 18 months.
Yeah, I think it's Mohamed Touré, the young striker that they got in. I believe they signed him in January and he started with like 4 goals in 4 games or something like that. And they reckon he looks really good. It's a bit of a weird team because they've brought in quite a lot of young players as well. And they didn't look up to much until they got the new manager and now suddenly they do. So it's hard to... I didn't know Jeff Schlupp was there.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. That's an interesting one. But I'm also looking, did he even play in the last game? I don't think he did. So he might be injured.
No, it's it's with them. I don't know what to make of them. I just know that they are a confident team now. They've also got good enough results that they're not in any like immediate relegation danger, so they can throw their all into this game. Like, I'm expecting them to pick close to a full strength side. and I'm expecting us to make what, 8 changes?
Yeah, you'd imagine it's mostly going to end up being defenders that stay in the team, and probably Ethan Ampadu.
Yeah,
I think after the Birmingham.
Although, I mean, if there was a time to rest him, because Duggar, he's been brilliant for us. He's been an unbelievably good signing. He's got 18 months left on his contract. We absolutely need to give him a new one. All of that stuff is true. He has had 2 pretty bad games in a row.
Yeah.
So if it might not be a bad idea to rest him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, may as well just go through the team in that case. So
yeah, because we don't know what theirs is going to be. I'm not going to pretend to have, like, if I wouldn't have been chasing around all day and stuff, I would have looked into Norwich more. I would have done more research from this. I have not had any chance. The truth is, when I look through their squad, it's a championship squad, and therefore we should beat them. Doesn't mean we will, but we should. And then it just depends on how much you want to rotate. Like, Perry will be in goal, for certain.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin's played a lot of football. Do you think it'll go back 4 or back 3?
I think he probably sticks with the back 3.
Yeah. Then probably Bornau. I mean, if you're going to play a 3, you sort of have to play Strouk to make it work. At least to make it work at its best.
Yeah.
And Justin's actually played more football than Strouk, because Strouk did miss a couple. So I'm going to go Bornau, be all Strouk.
Yeah, and then
it's probably, I mean, it'll probably end up being Goodmanson, because who else could it be?
Probably. Last round, it was Nonto and Goodmanson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Basically. You know what? Just go 4-2-3-1. It'd be so much easier. And also, that it gives you a bit of freedom to... I think then you can play Mecha and Pirou, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, with Pirou basically as the 10.
Yeah, Nonto and James can actually play as wingers. And then
he'll probably go Tanaka and Longstaff.
Tanaka, Longstaff. I don't think he's going to do this, but he absolutely should. And then you can do Bornau, Biol.
If you want to rest Goodmanson, that's the way you do it. You play a 4 and you play James Justin at left back.
Yeah. And you could, if you were going to play Ampadu, play him as a centre back.
Yeah, I suppose you could play Ampadu as a centre back in a 3 as well, and then play Justin left wing back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, take him off after 60 minutes and put Goodmanson on.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a chance he brings Buonanotte in from the cold?
I think he makes the bench. I don't think he starts him. Because I don't know how you go from 45 minutes in the last round to "nah, bollocks to you, I don't want you in my squad" to "go on, have another go." I think at this point, looking at the way he uses them, I think Nonto and James need the minutes far more than him.
Yeah. I'm not ruling out one of them two playing as a wing back.
It'll be Nonto, which I still think is daft.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be surprised if, especially because Justin and Bogle have both played a lot of football, I wouldn't rule out Dan James right wing back. I also wouldn't rule out, like, Sean Longstaff right wing back either.
Is Sam Chambers fit yet?
He didn't play in the last 21s game that I watched. Yeah. If one of them was going to come in from the 21s, and don't get me, I do not for a second think one will. Jaden Lehner has looked pretty decent. he looked a bit too suspect defensively for the moment to play first team football. But if one of them was gonna, it's him or that Reece Chadwick.
I mean, if you look,
or Alfie Cresswell as well, he could probably like do so, but I don't think there's any chance any of them do.
In a world where you have 9 substitutes in an FA Cup game, and this is probably more a conversation for the Derby game than at this stage. But you could absolutely get away with putting two of the 21s on the bench and still having 7 first-teamers.
Yeah, like, I think there's an argument for having Leonu there just because all of our left wing-back options could do with a rest.
Yeah.
So just having him there as an option would be better. But it, I suppose, like, from I didn't see the press conference today, but it sounds like it is just Okafor still that's injured.
Tell you what, though, you're all looking pretty foolish now for wanting Jack Harrison to be sent away, aren't you? No. Look at him now. Look at him now, playing alongside Moise Keane.
Yeah, look at him. He got that assist in the last minute for Keane. That was like 4 weeks ago, and I haven't looked at anything that's happened since. But yeah, no, it was a really... So, after such a bad game, I'm hoping this is just simple. God, what I'd give for us to just win this 2-0 and it to just be really comfortable and easy. But I don't think it's going to be, and I think this is 1-1 an extra time.
I think we lose 2-1. I've really been brought down by Sunderland.
I haven't had Connie's score of a win yet. It will be a win. Alex 3-1 win, Benny 1-1 draw, Danny 3-0 win. I do know what actually happened against Sunderland, even though, like we said, it'll be quite a tight game and quite negative. Every single we all had us winning, and that is why we lost.
Yeah, that's why I've gone for the defeat in this one.
Yeah, because obviously. That is how football works, and you can tell me as much as you want that that's not how it works, and I know that's not how it works, but it is, though.
Yeah.
Is there any... Like, we've said what we think it'll be. Is there anyone that you really want to see a performance out of? Because mine's Tanaka. If he plays, I really want him to have a good game.
I think for me it's Nonto and James, because... this system we've sort of ended up with is we're taking a step back from the level of creativity that we got to kind of at the start of that run. And we sort of ended up back with we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So it'd be quite nice for them to one, I think they both need to get 90 minutes, and I would like to both see them get something out of the game, whether it's a goal, whether it's an assist.
Yeah.
Because I think you get to the point now where they need to be more involved.
Yeah, my big worry, and it's not, I've seen other people say this as well, but my worry is that we never get Nonto into this side. He never gets back to playing. Someone signs him offers for like 15 million, even less if we go down. And then he gets going. And suddenly you're watching this £50 million footballer.
It's like a Lion Capriel, but much worse.
Yeah.
Me and Alex were talking about this, saying that there's a very good chance he ends up going back to Italy. And like you say, if he gets the game time and settles in quick.
Because I back him to come good, it'll be Atalanta, because they do this all the time. Sign someone who's out of favour, didn't really get going. And suddenly, you know, De Ketelaere went over there, it went wrong, goes to Atalanta, he's good. Adamola Luckman, it's not really working out, goes to Atalanta, world beater.
Now also falling out with him again, but...
he's at Atletico Madrid now.
Yeah. My hope is that we get back to having some proper wide players again as options, and we start to look a bit more flexible again.
Yeah. For what it's worth, by the way, Liverpool 2-0 up at Wolves in the FA Cup. Andy Robertson.
Vengeance.
Andy Robertson 51st minute, Salah 53rd. Which means that Denise Coates, you've done it again, because I'm pretty sure 365 special was Liverpool to score in the first half. Their magic, their special for that league game was Ekitike shot on target. Didn't have one. Ekitike, who incidentally I brought into my fantasy team for the midweek.
Yeah, it made all the sense in the world.
Yeah, because I had the exact right of money to swap from the player I took out to him. I think I made him my captain as well. Anyway, that player I took out was João Pedro. How did he get on again for Chelsea this week?
Yeah.
A hat trick, you say? Oh, great. Yeah. It's been a disastrous midweek in all ways for Leeds. So hopefully the weekend goes well, because we are only two games away from Wembley, even though it should be three, because the semi-finals being at Wembley is stupid. But hopefully we can just win this comfortably and just get all of this shit out of the system and get everyone back on board, because there's such a massive change in the way the fan base is looking at this season now based off that game.
Yeah.
I would talk about season ticket stuff more. I've had the email, but the truth is I've been that busy all day, I haven't even looked yet. I know it's gone up for a lot of people because I've seen people complaining about it, but I don't even know how much ours are. I haven't looked yet. So that will probably be something that we talk about on the next pod. But yeah, unless you're about to add, KC, I think that'll do us.
No, I'm good.
Cool. Well, yeah, we'll be back probably early next week. I've been Jack, see ya.
I'm KC, have a good one.
In a bit.